Our first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here end the lessons.
Please rise before Abel for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You may be seated. Any kids that want to head out for children's church at this time, feel free. Got a bunch of you here this morning, it's great to see. Alrighty. Lord, we thank you for your word, the way that it speaks to us, instructs us, guides us, corrects us, and you know we can turn to it at any time and discern your will from it and meet you in it. So may we meet you in your word this morning, Lord, and hear from you clearly. Amen. He has overcome. I mean, yeah. Okay, yes, yes, yes. The victory is the Lord's. We're reading Romans 12 today. With verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil exists, of course. It's out there. It's all around us. But evil can't exist unless there's also good. And that is all around us as well, and within us, right? The battle is many times within. If we're going to be overcome by evil, if you give way to evil, it just rises up within you and you act out in ways that are inappropriate, especially inappropriate for a Christian. Now, we are human, and that side will rise up. When we are attacked physically, verbally, emotionally, whatever, our human side is going to rise up, and it's going to seek to fight back. Sometimes we got to sort of push it back down, okay? There is a time and a place, all right? It tells us that in Ecclesiastes, right? There's a time for war, a time for peace. And there's nothing wrong with defending yourself or your family. If they're in danger, I don't see anything in Scripture. If you ever do point it out to me, that you can't defend yourself and your family. But, you know, don't take vengeance to later on try to get back at someone. That's what we've been looking at the last couple Sundays, and this follows on the heels of that. If you are taking vengeance, you would be overcome by evil. Instead, we are to do good to others. We are to love others. We are to be there for them and be there with them. And that's what Paul is writing about here. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we were to respond with evil, we're stooping to their level, right? We're going to take the high road. We're not going to respond with evil. We're not going to stoop down to their level. And that just creates a cycle, or else it can create an arms race. So, you know, I'm going to be more evil. I can get you back more. I can get you back more. Where does that end? By responding that way, would we be representing Christ faithfully? No. Again, in the moment, to protect someone or something? Absolutely. But later on, if you're trying to get back at someone, no. Again, Christ was humiliated in every way, had every right to act out, did not. He overcame humbly, with love, with goodness, with kindness. Wow, a different kind of weapon. We're not fighting as the world fights. So we can't really respond to evil with evil, but we're instead going to respond with good. Because evil cannot drive out evil. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Evil cannot drive out evil, but good can. Good will triumph over evil. If not in this world, then the next for sure, at the end of time. There is no doubt we know how the story ends. If you haven't read ahead, do so. Okay, read ahead to the end. Spoiler alert, maybe I should have said, but for this crew, it should not be a spoiler alert, because we know that good will triumph over evil. Nothing can overcome God, and God is good. So good will prevail. Will. Has already. You know, that's sort of the deal. Jesus has already won the victory, right? On the cross, he's won the victory. But the battle rages on until, you know, the end of this world, and of course there'll be the final victory. So we're still in the fight. We are still in the fight. Around us and within us. Evil can try to attack from without and also rise up within. And we again have to push that back down and overcome it with good is the key. Our enemy is not, of course, flesh and blood, as Paul writes in Ephesians. It's of a different sort, and a different type of warfare is then needed. If our enemy is not flesh and blood, conventional weapons will not work. A number of us sitting here today have been trained in conventional warfare and unconventional warfare, but to use weapons to overcome. That doesn't work in the spirit. Some of the tactics do. The tactics will. But the weapons themselves, we need a different type when we're fighting spiritual battles. Again, it can be a battle around us or also a battle within us that we have to fight, that we have to use weapons of good to overcome the evil. So Paul's writing here then to the people of Corinth, and they were familiar with the evil. You could get anything you wanted in Corinth. That was quite the city. It was on the coast there, and the ships had come from all over, and sailors getting shore leave from all over, and you know everything was available in Corinth. So he's writing these people, trying to build them up, and he's talking about, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Again, conventional weapons are not going to be of use. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We're talking about God's power, divine power, which is the ultimate power. Nothing more powerful. And if that's on our side, hey, we're going to win. There's no doubt about it. We're going to win the war. Again, the battles can be tough. But that divine power, there's nothing greater, and it has that power to demolish strongholds. Not just to neutralize them, not just to knock them over, but to demolish, to pulverize. You know, this is basically to crush into nothingness. But these strongholds are not fortresses made out of brick and stone. It's not that type of deal. These strongholds within the mind, primarily, you're going to find strongholds are thought processes that we could fall into. Basic arguments that people can bring up against how good God is or his existence or whatever. Philosophies that people adhere to. Addictions, very, very strong strongholds that can grasp you and hold you. Things like pride and lust. Or even ideologies. We see a lot of that today. People have various ideologies. If they don't line up with Scripture, better rethink them, okay? But when we respond to the people that have this going on, we have to do it out of love, right? Out of goodness, to overcome with good is what we're shooting for here. So these strongholds within, how do you change your thought patterns? How do you change your philosophies, your ideologies? How do you overcome the addictions? These strongholds can grasp your mind. They can start to control your mind and control you. They're very real. We can't fight against them with conventional weapons. We need spiritual weapons, what we need. We're going to arm ourselves with something different. How do we overcome these arguments, these philosophies? With truth. Truth is an amazing weapon. If you're speaking the truth of God, yeah, you can argue against truth, but you're not going to overcome truth. Of course, people try to make up their own truths and define things their own way, but that would not be absolute truth, of course. The absolute truth is God and his word. That's his truth right here. You got any questions? Turn to this. You're going to find your answers. So truth is an amazing weapon. God's word is an amazing weapon. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil three times, he responded using God's word. An amazing weapon that can overcome all kinds of things. The success of involving God's word. in refuting arguments and overcoming philosophies with addictions. We got, Jill and I went to the Adult and Teen Challenge banquet a couple weeks ago. Got to see all these people that were overcoming addictions. It's incredible. A secular treatment program has a success rate, if you're court ordered to go to treatment. But the Adult and Teen Challenge is spiritual based. It's based on God's word, and the success rate is phenomenal. And these people were just sharing testimonies. They were overjoyed at what their life used to be like and what it's like now. A lot of them had, everybody had given up on them. There's no way that person can possibly recover. They've been in a prison multiple times, or so into drugs and crime so bad, things like that. These people were sharing their stories of who they were and now who they are due to God and the word of God. They were really big on that, so it was huge. It was wonderful. We have other weapons, prayer and fasting, the power twins. If you're struggling with something, pray about it for sure, but consider fasting as well. Prayer and fasting, you can just connect with God, you can get focused on God. It's a wonderful thing. Some people fast regularly, like one day a week, or else as God moves within the Spirit telling you, hey, fast about this. You'll find many examples in Scripture about people fasting, and there are benefits. If your health isn't that great, check with your doctor first. I'd recommend that. But it is great when you hear God's call to pray and fast to do so. You'll really hear from him very clearly. It's great. Another weapon, of course, is worship. When we engage in worship. The other day I was driving down the road and I was struggling with some things in my mind. Bad thoughts. I had run over my son's dog is what had happened. And it was not pretty. It did not end well. So how do you fight back against that attitude? How do you fight back against my mind just sinking down? And not only my mind, but my spirit. One thing I did is I started worshiping. I started singing praise songs driving down the road. My attitude started to turn around. Now, I'm still sad about the dog, don't get me wrong. But I was able to turn it around there and praise God. And worship is such an incredible weapon. Such an incredible weapon. Submitting to God, another way. In submitting ourselves and our minds and our spirits to him, we will win. We're going to win these battles by submitting to God, submitting to his truth. So for some people, biblical counseling. You got secular counseling out there, it's of some value, absolutely. But if you have spiritual help in the counseling, spiritual counseling, biblical counseling, great weapon, excellent weapon. A lot of people have overcome a lot of strongholds in their mind through this. Another weapon is forgiveness. If we're able to forgive, we can be free. Ideally, it works best when both people, both parties are willing to forgive. They can come to an agreement, forgive each other. Okay, be totally free. But even if the other person is not willing to forgive, we at least can forgive. And if you do it completely, you turn it over to God, and you completely forgive that person, it can't be used against you anymore. It's dead, it's gone, it's buried. So these are examples of weapons that we have that can demolish various strongholds, thought patterns, addictions, philosophies, ideologies, etc. God's truth, his word, prayer and fasting, worship, submitting to God, biblical counseling, forgiveness. This creates a lifestyle. This creates healing. And this allows us to overcome on the battlefield of the mind. Because that's where our battlefield is many times. The enemy is going to work from without, but he's also going to work from within. He's going to bring thoughts up. Thoughts can evolve into actions, actions which are sin, and sin results in death. So if we can see that starting to crop up and immediately, squash it, that's a whole lot more effective than trying to deal with the fallout. Once things have come to fruition in a bad way, we have to clean up the mess. But if we can stop it from happening in the first place, if we can overcome in our mind these thoughts and these things before they have a chance to take root, it's a lot better to do it that way. You don't have to clean up the yuck. You don't have to clean up the aftermath. It did not involve other people. Maybe you lashed out at someone. Now you got to go to them for forgiveness. But if we can stop this, if we can nip it in the bud, we can do a lot of good. So this battlefield that Paul's talking about, it's not a physical battlefield, and many times it's in our mind. It's from within. These strongholds and addictions and things that take over our life, we have divine power to demolish them, God's power to demolish them. We can't do it ourselves. You can try to do it yourself. You can try to do it with the help of others. Maybe make some progress. Maybe, you know, neutralize it for a little while, but it's going to come back up again. And we need God's power to totally demolish these things. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. These things are going to set themselves up against the knowledge of God. They're going to attack God. They're going to make you question God. God, are you there? Are you real? Why do you let these things come against me? Turn to Him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, as it says in Ephesians 6. We can be strong in ourselves, but to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, to bring that might, that divine power, to demolish these strongholds, then we can experience freedom. Thoughts are still going to come up, absolutely. But He tells us about that too. He says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All right? If someone's taken captive, they're rendered harmless. A POW, someone in war, or else if the deputies take someone into custody, they take them captive, they put handcuffs on them, they can't do anything anymore. And we do the same thing with thoughts. When thoughts start to crop up, thoughts that could lead to sin, again, nip it in the bud, take them captive. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, to turn it. And then we get to be like Christ, who has overcome. We can overcome these battles in our mind. We can. They're very real. They are out there. Everybody struggles with something at one time or another. Some people more than others. Some people for a longer time than others. Maybe it's from something we can't control, something that happened to us, but we can overcome. We can demolish, completely demolish, obliterate these strongholds with the help of God and His power once again. We can overcome like Jesus did, and that's what we heard in the gospel today. He says, in me you may have peace. So no matter what you're up against, whatever's keeping you off keel there, in Christ you can have peace. You can have an incredible peace, not peace as the world gives, but the peace that comes from Him. In the midst of chaos and the storm, you can just have an incredible peace, which is great. Your mind will be free. And it's God who can give this peace. It's not the type that the world gives again. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. So you got your choice, basically, between peace in Him and trouble in the world. You know, well, that's sort of an easy choice, right? But the trouble in the world will exist. He says you will have trouble. It doesn't say you might have trouble. He says you will have trouble in this world. But in Him, we can have peace. There's the solution, to have peace in Him, to seek Him, to pray, to spend time with Him, to fast, to do whatever you can, to read His word, to gather with others. All these things, we can get our focus off those problems and get our focus onto Christ, where it belongs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, so make Him the priority. He's the one that we should be seeking. With Him, we find peace. And this peace that can totally envelop you in the midst of the chaos and the storm. To follow His example of overcoming, we start out by saying, do not overcome or fight evil with evil. Don't give in to evil, right? But overcome evil with good. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He overcame evil with good. Throughout His walk on earth, He was constantly fighting evil. How is He doing it? With good. By showing compassion to others, by loving others. And the good has overcome. He says here, take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen, He has. He has overcome the world, and He can overcome whatever's in you. Whatever is welling up within you, whatever is trying to take hold, with His help, it can be demolished. And if it's demolished, there's no trace left. It doesn't hurt you anymore. It can't hurt you anymore. It can't even come against you anymore. It can be totally done away with, which is a beautiful thing, to have that peace and to have that freedom and to be able to live in the victory because He has overcome and we are His. Amen.